information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, May 4th. And we are live in Oshkosh at Oshkosh Air Support 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. A studio that is almost quite ready, but we're here anyway, broadcasting live. So a little bit of an echo in the studio. But Aaron Zommers, Kristen Lyerly, not nearly the echo from the last hour now that we understand how microphones work in here. I trust, amazing. Aaron, things are sounding better.
Oh, yes, very much so.
and Kristen does as well. We both took care of our technical difficulties during the news break there, Kristen. How are you?
Technology. What are you going to do?
Nothing. You're just, you do trial and error. That's exactly what they do here. But again, lovely to be here in Oshkosh. We've talked a few times with Todd Alba and some of the other talk show hosts that when we get more of these civic media studios constructed, we're going to do a tour. And Lyerly, we're dragging you along with us. We're
yes.
You know, like a couple of days in Oshkosh, a couple of days in Green Bay, a couple of days in Wausau, you know, Wisconsin Rapids. We're just going to, and of course, Chippewa Falls, where I can say we're not on the air yet, but very, very soon. And again, much like some of these other studios, it's going to be in an old, old building that is being remodeled beautifully. And I can't wait to show you where we're at in downtown Chippewa Falls when we sign on in a couple of weeks.
I'm excited about the Oshkosh station because downtown Oshkosh, there are so many beautiful old buildings. I mean, Oshkosh has a really storied history. So how neat that you found this space. And I was down by the Green Bay station the other day. That's really coming along. It's great to see the signage out there. It's really prominent. Very exciting.
It is. It's gorgeous. And as I mentioned last hour, there's a big Oshkosh Air Support sticker in the window, but there's also a little sticker there about this being a Main Street bounce back business. One of those programs from Governor Evers where up to 10,000 businesses are getting $10,000 a piece to, but only if they're moving into or remodeling space in an otherwise vacant storefront, which is just what you want. You know, we don't need to send $3 billion to one company, and somebody figured it out. And now the legislature is going to go and cut it. But, you know, at least it got to do some good while Governor Evers was controlling those purse strings.
Yeah, this is an exciting time, I think, as we're watching what's happening with the budget process and seeing what the governor put out there and then what's happening with the legislature. And I mean, the way that they just right away took out 500 things that Wisconsinites care about, but just boom, gone.
Just gone. Yeah. And with saying, well, we don't even want to talk about it anymore. You know, it's just, just like bullies. Let's see. I wanted to cover a couple things with you. One is, and the court case begins today on the 1849 abortion ban. After months of discussion and little movement in the courts, arguments begin in Dane County Circuit Court. We talked to Diane Welsh, attorney, the other day, who is the attorney for the interveners in the case, which include yourself. And so this has to feel like a bit of a landmark day for you.
It really does. It's not going to end here. It's likely not going to end here. This really is just where they address the motion to dismiss from DA Ermansky from Sheboygan County. But, you know, it's great to see some movement. We're all looking forward to some resolution here and an understanding of whether this law truly is enforceable. It's causing such a chilling effect across the state for doctors who are taking care of patients, midwives, nurse practitioners, PAs. I mean, healthcare providers don't know what to do. Patients don't know what kind of care that they can receive. So we really need clarity. And this is the first step toward that.
It truly is. And that really what this comes down to for folks that missed this when we talked to Diane Welsh is that we have been saying that the state is under the 1849 abortion ban, and that's not really technically the case. It's that we don't know where we are, and so providers, unfortunately, are deferring to as if there were a ban because they don't want to be the, you know, the guinea pig for a court case. They don't want to be arrested and charged and whatnot. And that's why the attorney general is taking this case to court, which is to say, hey, courts, tell us, are we actually governed by the 1849 ban, or is a 1985 law, is that the one that's in effect, which actually protects abortion rights until viability around 24 weeks or so? And right now there's this legal, ambiguity, like you said, that is it's just affecting you, your patients. It just, and it's frankly affecting, you know, the state of healthcare in Wisconsin.
And it's not just a little punishment. This is a punishment that comes with a felony and 6 years in jail potentially, and that will ruin a healthcare provider's record. I mean, patients are safe. To be very, very clear, if you are a patient seeking care, you cannot be penalized. So please go out there and get the care that you need. That's critical. But for those of us who are providing care, a felony charge for actually just doing the right thing and taking care of our patients, that's really daunting. And then if you think about the other effects of criminalizing medical care, putting doctors in jail for taking care of their patients, where does it go next? So this really is a very scary situation. And again, we're really looking forward to some resolution here so that we can start moving forward and taking care of people in Wisconsin.
And it really is telling that the party that once told us they were about individual freedom and local control is, you know, interfering in the most intimate ways in an exam room, but also, as we're going to discover after the break and after a weather update, ways that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss wants government to interfere, wants state government to interfere with local governments, right down to the level of dictating quotas for traffic tickets. That's what's actually in this new Republican plan for shared revenue. We'll talk about that and a little bit more about Star Wars Day as well, coming up after this break. This is Up North News Radio for Thursday. I don't necessarily want the people of Weatherology to take this the wrong way, that we're playing the Imperial March here just before the weathercast, but you know, it's Star Wars Day. It may the 4th be with you. You get that? So it has to go someplace. Kristen, Star Wars fan? Yay or nay?
Not really.
Okay, well, we're going to shut your camera off here, and I'm going to talk to you.
We're lightsaber fans at my house, though.
We're lightsaber fans. Okay, well, we got that going for us. All right. In sports, the Rockies beat the Brewers again, 7-1 last night. Eric Lauer pitched into the fifth inning, 4 hits, 4 runs, all unearned. They will play again this afternoon before heading to San Francisco, and you can hear the Brewers right here on this station where I'm sitting, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, also news from the center out of Richland Center. And all along the state, you can hear us. You can also follow the Brewers as we cover them on shows, wonderful radio shows like this that not only give you the score, tell you the weather. Jennifer Fuchitsky is here to tell us more about how the forecast is looking. It's here in Oshkosh. It's mild. It's gorgeous. And looking forward to seeing, I know we've got some ups and downs coming into the weekend. Jennifer, good morning, and tell us all about it.
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's kind of mild here for today. Looking at that warm front that's really pushing through the state today, above average for most as the state looks, as the state should be around the low to mid-60s. 70, low 70s in the central and southern parts of the state. A little bit cooler towards the lakefront, though, around the upper 50s for Milwaukee. Low to mid-70s from Richland Center up to the west central parts of Wisconsin. Sunny skies today for nearly everyone, except around Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids over to Oshkosh. Looking at cloud cover over there and a slight chance for some areas of rain. Then that chance for rain continues through tonight in those areas. But then a chance for rain across the state for Friday tomorrow. For the most part, highs for tomorrow look to be relatively similar to today for the bottom half of the state. A little bit more towards Wausau over to Amory and Baldwin as the cold front pushes through. Then it looks like a stationary front actually comes in and sticks around for the weekend with continued chances for showers and thunderstorms all across the board both Saturday and Sunday. Not all day washouts, but on and off again chances for those rain showers in. And but at least looking at temperatures expected to be either at or slightly above those seasonal averages for this time of the year. So it really doesn't look like we'll be seeing too much below average temperatures here for the rest of the work week and even into the weekend.
Sounds great. Jennifer, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking to you again later on. Have a great day.
You too.
Let's get back to talking with Dr. Lyerly, and Aaron Zommers is with us as well. We were talking a bit ago, Kristen, about the party that used to say they were all about, you know, small government and local control and all that, you know, getting into the exam rooms. it is amazing to read the new bill that they are saying will beef up the support that state government gives to local governments. It's called, shared revenue. But we already knew some strings were attached, but thanks to AJ Bidepour over at CBS 58 in Milwaukee, give a listen to some of what's in the fine print of this. In one section of the bill, cities and counties could get a 15% in state funding if they fail to meet certain criteria, which includes having local law enforcement agencies maintain the number of arrests they make and the number of tickets they write, essentially putting in quotas.
Yeah, I can tell you that police are not going to like that. No. I mean, obviously municipalities are not going to like that, but who does that actually serve? I don't understand.
It serves a point that, that they're all about law and order, but if you maintain the same number of arrests, all that does is let them say, oh, crime is still out of hand. You need to keep us in charge, when they're the ones essentially. Imagine being pulled over and somebody else had posted this on social media saying, well, sir, you were only going 1 mile, 1 mile an hour above the limit, but I got to write you a ticket, because I've got a quota to fill. Who wants to put officers in that spot?
Nobody wants anything to be like, that's terrible. Oh, that's so frustrating.
Right. And Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride talked about the language again in this CBS 58 report. He said, for a city that allocates 25% of its budget to police, 25% to fire, 25% to public works, if you're forced to maintain police staffing levels no matter what, and you get inflation coming in, that's going to lead to cuts in all these other places. It doesn't solve anything. This is not a serious proposal. This is a political document.
I think that Obi-Wan Kenobi has a good way to talk about it.
So uncivilized.
We could use some more of that rather than what we're getting here. Again, the dictating of what a doctor has to do or what a local government has to do, and to just feed the talking points and try to win power on that is simply stunning. Not just look, people are crass and political all the time, but at some point you think you'd actually want to take your power seriously and govern reasonably rather than just bring up screwball stuff like this.
Uncle Pat, how long has it been since the state legislature controlled by Republicans has increased shared revenue that goes to the municipalities?
Oh, God, I don't. That's a great question, Kristen.
I think it's been like 12 years. Yeah. I think it's been stale for 12 years. So the dollars.
Well, a lot of things have been stale for 12 years. Yeah.
So the dollars going to every municipality to fund things like police and fire and EMS have been the same over the last 12 years. I don't know about you, but my expenses have gone up. Inflation has been kind of, impactful. Mm-hmm. And they've had to figure it out. And they've done that because when local officials can make those decisions locally for what local people need, that is the most effective way to govern. That's the whole reason that we elect local officials. So for the state to be saying that you have to do it this way does not serve local people in Wisconsin.
So that's the state and local view on it. Now over on the federal side, you still have the country coming closer and closer to its debt limit. And if Republicans allow the country to default, it's going to lead to an estimated 8 million job losses, an instant recession. You're all going to feel it in your retirement accounts and portfolios. It's going to be a bad thing. And yet they're perfectly willing to play chicken with this. And it got me to wondering, I'm seeing more and more speculation. This gets rather in the weeds, but I'm one of those who does not believe there should even be a debt limit. It's like an imaginary thing that's made up. And while no president has yet done this, I really think President Biden's going to be the one that, if next week's meeting doesn't go well with congressional Republicans, he's just going to basically ignore the debt ceiling, because the 14th Amendment to the Constitution says the United States shall not default on its debts. So in some ways, I'm like, I don't even know what we're talking about here,
The Constitution.
You know, that thing.
You're right.
That they're originalists on. They are originalists on this. They're like, what did the founding fathers intend? Well, the founding fathers put in here, the government shall not default on its debts, which, look, that doesn't mean there won't be some impact from that as well, but not nearly the impact of what a default would do. And this game of chicken to get these cuts, Voss is looking for cuts at the local level to everything except police, basically. And congressional Republicans want cuts to, you know, a host of things, to healthcare programs, to veterans programs, to, you know, to the tax credits you'd get from energy, from the forgiveness of student loan debt, all kinds of things that assist Americans would just go away, because we now have a party that doesn't have a difference in governing. They don't want to govern. They want to just shrink. They're not anti-governing. They're anti-government itself.
And let's remember how we got here with our national debt. This wasn't a Democrat thing, and it wasn't a Republican thing. I mean, really, when you look at the numbers over all of the administrations that have contributed to this debt, it's been pretty even. So this is all of our problem, and it came from all of us.
Though not lately, so much of this is the 2017 massive tax cut for the upper ends of the spectrum. And Republicans aren't talking about rolling back a dime of that. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that is so insulting, is that that is the thing that has really piled on the debt. And three times during the Trump administration, they didn't blink an eye about raising the debt ceiling. But now with a Democrat in the White House, much like when Obama was there, now they want to have this showdown on cutting spending to Americans, but they don't want to give any ground on, you know, tax cuts to the very rich. I mean, they're giving away the game and somehow thinking that if they play chicken long enough, President Biden will save them from themselves and agree to some cuts. I hope he doesn't. I hope he says, sorry, kids, people say he's going to invoke the 14th Amendment. You don't invoke the 14th. It's just there. It exists. And he just says, nah, I'm not playing along with you kids, you know?
That 2017 tax cut still puzzles me. Like, they knew it. They knew that they were giving the rich this giant tax cut. They knew that they were not balancing the budget, which is something that, I don't know about you, Pat, but I have money coming in, money going out. I have to think about, you know, not spending more than I earn. But they knew that they were doing that. And I remember watching a press conference with Trump, and he said, well, we're just going to grow the economy, when the economy was already chugging along at record numbers. So this was just a total nonsensical political thing that has gotten us into this situation. And who is suffering? Us.
Mm-hmm. And I it's one of my puzzlements about, you know, national media, that they're not called on it more aggressively for either the hypocrisy or for the harm that they're doing. It ranks right up there with, and I'm sorry, Mark Jacob is off this week. Tomorrow, he and I our heads would explode talking about how CNN is basically turning over the airwaves to Donald Trump for what, an hour next week, I think, for some kind of a town hall. Just so, so reckless.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Mark from Prairie du Sac wants to join us and chime in here quick. Mark, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Good morning, guys, and thank you for talking about the 14th Amendment. Again, the Constitution is the Constitution, and that's what it says. Debt shall not be questioned. It amazes me for the cuts that these Republicans want to do, eliminating things from the budget. Like, the one that really got me is, I think it was Dewey Strobel, was yapping about, oh, we can't afford paying for the free lunches for the children, yet, correct me if I'm wrong, but these guys, when they get their per diem, we're paying for their lunch.
We do. We pay for their meals, but they won't pay meals for kids.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, that it is just, there's another thing that he yapped about too, is that, you know, we can't afford this. We're taking this out of the budget. And how you can run a campaign on taking food out of the mouths of children is just, is beyond me. I mean, these guys brag about it, and I just, you know, that if you, where are their hearts? I mean, that are their hearts made of stone or unmelting glass, like the old Snow Queen?
It does make you wonder. Yep, Mark, I appreciate it so much. Thanks for chiming in, Kristen. We've got hometown health coming up in a few minutes. Set us up. We're talking about financial health.
We are. Isn't that crazy how it just dovetails so nicely into what we're talking about right now? We're going to be joined by Kristen Alfheim from Appleton. She is just incredible, and she's been doing some really important work here in the state. So it's going to be a great conversation. Stick around.
All right. Well, we will do just that. And then when that is all done, on this Star Wars Day, we will talk to Luke, I Am Your Father, Mathers. And which some days it really feels like it. He's the son I never had, or the son that I forgot that I had. We'll be back. Wait, that's little Pat. Never mind. We'll be back. You're up north. We're letting Kristen pick bumper music now, and I think she's doing a great job. We're just adding more and more duty. First, we made you chief morale officer. Now you're a fine purveyor of bumper music for us. What don't
it's
you do?
It's fun. I actually as I'm listening to tunes, I'm thinking, oh, that would be good bumper music.
Very nice.
And then I send you a text.
And you do, and I just say yes, ma'am. Whatever you need. So less work for me. I'll take it. This is Hometown Health, as we do most Thursdays at 7:30, where Dr. Lyerly helps introduce us to somebody whose job involves improving community health in some way, shape, or form. And this time, it's about financial health. And so, Kristen, tell us why you picked that, and set up and welcome our guest.
Well, this Kristen is so excited to welcome another Kristen who just happens to be a retirement income certified professional, an estate planning educator, a municipal leader in Appleton, and dare I say, a Wisconsin Democratic Party up and comer. She's a former candidate for state senate. Kristen Alfheim, welcome.
Kristen, good morning.
Good morning to you too. Good to see your faces.
You as well.
Right back at you. Yeah. Now, we're focusing on financial wellness this morning. So in order to be financially well, you really have to be financially literate. What
yes.
does that mean? And how are Wisconsinites doing with regards to financial literacy?
Horribly. I'll just kick that out right away. You know, I've been in this business since 1999. And I spent the bulk of my career educating or teaching agents and advisors how to be agents and advisors. So I understand going from a zero knowledge base up to where you need to be. I switched over about 5 years ago into just doing estate planning and working with pre-retirees. And what I can tell you is the lack of knowledge on the basics of tax and strategies that are out there is truly zero. The people just don't know, not to say that nobody does, but the amount of lack of knowledge is just really outstanding. So we have to start doing something. And my biggest issue is it's generational. So if I'm talking to a 72-year-old that really had no idea what they were doing, that means they probably have a 52-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And that 52-year-old probably has a 30-year-old that has no idea what they're doing. And guess what? That 30-year-old has a 2-year-old that's going to have no idea what they're doing. So we have to start talking about it.
So do you think that this is a new problem? I mean, things have obviously gotten much more complicated over time. When you look at all the different retirement options, you know, you've got IRAs and Roth IRAs and 401ks and all of these complicated vehicles. So for the 72-year-old, it was a different situation than it was for the 30-year-old.
Well, it's a different situation for everybody. You have to remember back in, you know, up until the late or the early 90s, people would retire with pensions. So the generations before us didn't really have to worry about this. My grandfather had church bonds in an envelope in his freezer. He had CDs, he had church bonds, and he had a pension, he had Social Security, and he lived happily ever after. That's not the case anymore. So it isn't a matter of necessarily us losing it over time. It's that we never had to focus on it. Because it was done for us. It was very automatic. So there's really a shortage of information because this is a new thing. All of this is new. 401ks are new, if you think about it. So there, yes, it's a dynamic industry. There's a lot of discussion to be had, but a lot of it is not people's fault. Our grandfathers never had to question it.
No,
just
but
had
our,
a handful of novels.
But our grandfathers and grandmothers also knew that they had something called a passbook savings account. And at that savings account, if you just put some money in there, you didn't need IRAs and everything else. If you just put it in the bank, in your local bank, what were you going to get? 5%. You know what you get now from your bank? You get a big old goose egg. If you're lucky, you maybe get what? 0.03% or something like that. So the marketplace itself has kind of foisted that on all of us to look for ways. It's turned our financial planning in some ways into a casino, that you're looking for this return on investment and everything else. So there is this need for more knowledge. So, you know, now that we've set up why there is this need, you know, because we can't change the marketplace. We can't change the way things are. We're not bringing pensions back next week, unfortunately. And I could go off, you know, for a while on that, but we have what we have. We need experts like you to do that. And so when you look at it from, say, a public health level, what are the kinds of things that we can do to improve our financial literacy?
Well, I think we have to start getting this in schools. Again, it would be easy to say we should work on this at home, but if the people at home don't know how to teach or what to teach, or heaven forbid, they've bought into a certain concept that is not necessarily holistic, it's not good for us. So really, I'm a believer in getting conversations going, getting financial literacy going in school as early as we can and ongoing, because there is no option but to play with money as we become adults. We don't have an option. So we have to start making understanding how to manage ourselves from the schools on. I think a financial literacy, you know, some type of mandate going in, adding it into math class, something that starts the vocabulary young when we're able to, the concepts, and then advance it so that we can understand how to control ourselves in the future.
How do we do that?
Well, it seems to be a challenge. I've been for 10 years trying to get financial literacy part of the public school, actually all school curriculum for 10 years. 10 years! And the challenge is, there's always a challenge, right? The challenge is, who's going to pay for it? How are we going to add it in? All of these things are challenges. I understand that and I respect that. I think that schools must be funded adequately. But we can't keep pushing the problem down the line. It's already been over a decade and we haven't done it. Now, there are some voluntary programs out there, but I'm a big supporter of, now is the time to get this financial literacy. It's a half a credit. It's a start. But the Assembly Bill on Financial Literacy can get pushed through, even if that means they have to compromise. Governor Evers wants to increase spending on education. Awesome. We need that. You all know that. The Republicans want to push through financial literacy. Can't we find a way to make that work together?
And yet, the governor put that in his budget proposal.
I know.
And Republicans took it out this week.
Right, I know. It's ridiculous. And yet they both want it. I'm so tired of the nonsense.
Oh, we've been hearing this from Republican legislators, like you said, for over a decade. I mean, wait, I was in there 15 years ago and they were talking about it then. And I agreed with them then. But apparently it has to be done out of the goodness of, you know, the private sector, who's going to come in and do it. I don't know if that's what they're looking for, but stop telling us you want financial literacy that our kids need to learn while you're saying no to the tools to get them there.
Yeah. And there are, I mean, I'm not against the concept of, there are outside providers that have it all ready to go. So the challenge of, it's going to take money to develop the curriculum and this and that, that's not really true. So I don't think it needs as much funding as could, you know, as being argued, but listen, we ask for, I think, a credit and a half of Phi Ed in order to graduate high school. And we have a half a credit for health, no credits for financial literacy. None.
All
That's
of the common
wrong.
Sense. Yeah, all of
That's
the common
wrong.
Sense stuff that we need to be able to live our lives in this complex environment. This is really, it's so important. And there's a bill. There's a bill, AB 109. It's the Mandated Financial Literacy in Schools bill. And you've been a real proponent of this bill. Can you talk a little bit about the contents of the bill?
Yeah, again, we've been working on this for about 10 years, and it's been changed. Last year, it got close. The contention was it was a full credit, and that might be too much to ask for. So this year, the sponsors cut it down to a half. It really just says it's necessary. To graduate from high school, it will be necessary to take a half a credit of this financial literacy program. And from there, the parameters are not perfectly set, let's be honest. But we want to have the baseline of education. There are third parties that have these programs ready to go. You could just literally pump them in any teacher. The challenge is where to put them and the funding on that. And again, as I testified in Madison, it's not me for me to say how you're going to make it happen. But I am the one down here telling you we need it desperately. So somehow, some way, get over it and make it happen. We have got to get the bill in so then we can solve the problem of how we're going to do it. But first we have to say yes.
Yes. And you said the bill is close.
So here's
my question. On Hometown Health, we're always thinking about the intersection of health, including financial health and politics, with a focus on building community. And that means that this is an opportunity for our listeners to get engaged and to do some advocacy work of their own in their own communities. So how can our listeners get involved here?
Yeah, this is one that I think we can help. I think that our base on this station tends to have a lean, and and that lean is pro-education, right? Mm-hmm. And I am pro-education, and most of you listening are pro-education. So I'm asking you to reach out to your representatives, to your senators, whatever side they may be on, and even the ones you love, they'll let you love, and tell them the importance. We must be able to get it through and make it part of our curriculum in order to then move forward and start having discussions about the continuing conversation of funding. We can't wait. We have to get it in there and work together. So we need you to reach out to your locals, whether they're blue, whether they're red, whether they're purple, whether they're rainbow. I don't care. Everyone needs to hear from us that we believe the need for financial literacy comes first. Let's get it on our docket. And then let's start solving the problem, making sure there's enough dollars around to take care of everybody in the future.
Spoken like a former candidate, spoken what? Like a potential future candidate, that instead of just caterwauling, why don't we actually work on substantive ways to move forward that are not, they're neither Democratic nor Republican.
Mm-mm. Exactly my point. This is just common sense. What's good for this is about people, right? There is not a single child in this state that would not benefit from this program. Not one. And if you think this is just a low-income issue, you're wrong. The more money that's out there, the less concern for it that exists, which means just as much education is needed in that category. Every child, every future resident needs it.
Let's take it to a real-world level in this day and age. Obviously, one piece of advice you could give people would be to consult with a financial planner, talk to an expert about it. But when you do talk to folks, is there like a most common mistake or a most common fix that a lot of households can make or do?
I think the most common mistake that I see is actually the 401k bombs. It's a tax issue. Now, don't get me wrong. Love retirement. Love automatic contributions into retirement plans. Love all the options. Love free money given from a company to add to yours. All of that is good, and we should be taking advantage. But what we don't realize is the consequence of all of our money being in the bucket of don't touch it till you're after 59 and a half, and it's all going to be taxable then. So the strategizing of different types of money, different tax registration classes, what you can use when, and then how to map that out through time. The distribution of a retirement plan, in my opinion, is ignored. You're ignoring what money will I spend when. And if the only type of money you have is a great big or medium or small 401k, that constricts the options that you have in terms of retirement, whether you want to go early, whether you want to make sure it's there long. Everything is constrained by the tax registration class. So education in terms of what's out there, what is your situation? There is no generic plan for retirement distribution planning. It's, in my opinion, just as much art as it is science. But you have to start with a foundation of broader buckets so that you have the options to do what you need to when the time comes, and people don't realize it. They just smash it all into their 401k. And then I got to figure out how to get it all out without causing chaos.
I think she'd make I, a, I think she, I think I have a new expert to go to.
So
here, take
my
money.
What else do you want to talk about? What else do you want to talk about? This is fun.
Well, we're gonna have to do this again then. So you can reach Kristen Alfheim on Facebook and in LinkedIn in those ways. And Kristen Lyerly, thanks for finding your friend Kristen Alfheim to bring her in today.
Hey, how can I not, when I know that there is a human being like Kristen Alfheim out there in the world, how can I not help to elevate this really critically important message? You mm-hmm. have to plan for your future financial life. You can't just rely on the government and think it's all going to be okay.
Very much so. Kristen, thanks again. Appreciate it so much. Dr. Lyerly is going to stick around when we talk to Luke Mathers coming up to wrap up our conversation and talk about civic media programming into the weekend after this. Live from Oshkosh, you're up north. We've got to wrap up this Star Wars day, of course, with the big victory scene. And actually, it's called the Throne Room, is what this particular music cut is called, which I don't think was very artfully named, because I think maybe in the UK the Throne Room is called one thing. Charles is going to use that in a couple of days here.
Right.
The Throne Room here comes with a different meaning. Which brings us to Luke Mathers. Luke, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. I'm good. Yourself? It's when they're getting their medals. They're in the throne. They're walking down the
great
halls.
I get it. Yeah.
It's fitting. Don't mess with John Williams. Come on. Like that. He can name whatever he wants.
I'm not. I want to turn the show over to Aaron from this point on, because you should have heard all of his Star Wars knowledge during the first hour. He did, and to his great credit, he didn't just hit you right in the face with the Luke, I am your father. Soundbite. He could have.
I am your father.
There we go.
Yeah.
I've gotten it once or twice.
Looks great.
You've never heard that before. Never, ever.
Just a couple times.
Yeah.
Growing up, my favorite was my mom. If I missed a call, that's how she would leave the voicemails. She would be like doing the Vader voice and
Luke, this is your mother.
No, no. Tell me you saved at least one of those.
Oh, I think that was like six phones ago, so I don't think so. But that was definitely one of her favorite little lines to do when I wasn't answering my cell phone.
That is awesome. So like I said, Aaron has all kinds of expertise. Where do we find you on the Star Wars spectrum of fandom?
Pretty casual fan in that one. I'm a fan, but not diehard, knowing all of the extended cuts. I'm pretty bad, actually. I haven't even got around to seeing Rogue One yet, or some of these spinoffs with the Obi-Wan.
I haven't seen Solo. I highly recommend Rogue One. I think that's a
what
really
everybody
good
tells movie. Me, but I've been there's just a couple, two, three things happening in my life. I haven't been sitting around a whole lot of movies.
I totally get that. But when you realize, as the movie gets on, that it basically is the stuff that takes place immediately before the original Star Wars movie in 1977, it adds a degree of anticipation to it all. All right, so we'll get off of that. Now I feel like we need a Star Trek day. I'm sure there's Trekkies out there going, hey, wait a minute.
I think there is
Kirk,
one.
Spock, the whole gang out there. So
with all of the different days there are out there,
there's
got to
be a Star Trek day.
There is a Star Trek day.
Yes. This friend that I was talking to yesterday who lives here in Oshkosh, she was asking, because I really liked Star Trek Next Generation, she assumed I was watching Picard. And I told her, no, I got a couple of episodes in, and it was actually, not that I'm entirely against, violence, but it was actually a little bit more violent. The thing about Star Trek was, they were always solving these. It was much more cerebral, There aren't lightsabers in Star Trek. And this one kind of wasn't that. So
it's a lot more logic in
it's only logical.
The Vulcan, the Vulcan way. Yeah.
Yes. The Vulcan mind melder, as we call it, here, being a wife, where they know what you're thinking. Look at Kristen, didn't take the bait on that at all. Wow.
You're all cerebral with the Star Trek versus Star Wars.
Yeah, you know, we're like, we've oh, done.
I prefer the logical, really thought oriented.
No, give me the lightsabers every day. Exactly. I'm all about the lightsabers, the Force.
I was waiting for you to chip in and go, wait a minute, wait, where's rom com day? Why do we have to do science fiction all the time?
Me?
You know? Yeah.
No, I'm a documentary gal. I'll watch documentaries all day long, especially if they're about music.
Oh, I know a couple of people that really love music document. Do you have a favorite? And I have one in my mind. Do you have a favorite?
The Foo Fighters did a whole series where they went to different cities and they explored the history of those cities. And then they produced a song in that city with a local legend. That's my favorite.
I guess I thought, and maybe it's just because I'm older, I thought for sure you would have gone with the Eagles documentary.
I do like the Eagles. Yeah.
I mean, that one, it's just stellar. I liked one that Chicago did, but of course it was self-made. So it was very fluffy. Luke, Aaron, either one of you have a favorite music documentary?
I haven't really been big on it. I like documentaries. Music documentaries haven't been. I watched the political. I like the everything around the food like system. There were several docuseries on Netflix with it's called Rotten. Oh, like those things, I could sit and watch for hours. But I'll have to see the Foo Fighters one. Dave Grohl's The Storyteller was my favorite book that I read last year, and it was tremendous. And so I assume that the Foo Fighters documentary is very good as well then, so I'm going to have to check that one out.
All right, Aaron?
Do it.
Yeah, for me, it is The Decline of Western Civilization. yes, that is a music documentary. It's about the punk scene news. In the late 70s and early 80s, and it just shows such a good picture, such an inside look at what it was like to either be in a punk band at that time or go to those shows. And you can really see all the different clashing strong personalities and why some of those people turned out the way they did.
Got it. Okay. Well, look at all these recommendations we've given to folks. And now we turn to what Mr. Mathers normally joins us for, is to tell us that there are so many other fine programs along the Civic Media Radio Network, including his own Dueling Tangents in the afternoon. The one thing you mention all the time that you don't have to this time is because I'm here at Oshkosh Air Support. We've mentioned a time or two, this is where you hear Brewers baseball. So, and again, great studio. Can't wait till the finishing touches are here. It's going to be great. But what else you want to tell us about for Civic Media this week?
Yeah, well, I don't know all the details, but there was a tease that went out across social media last night. Kristen Bry's got some information to share at 11:30. So you're going to want to tune in to As Goes Wisconsin. I don't even know what the details are. So
maybe this other Kristen can tell us something about Kristen Bry's As Goes Wisconsin.
I can say that at noon we'll be talking even more about it.
Oh, there you go.
Really? So is there a guest on Kristen's show that we should know about?
Yeah, Kristen and I are doing a whole thing for Women's Health Month in May. So at noon every Thursday, we're going to talk about women's health topics. And we're going to debunk myths, and we're going to use real words like vulva.
Do you feel us losing her? Do you feel it's almost like her voice is trailing as the tractor beam from As Goes Wisconsin kind of lures her?
This is the manure, right, Pat?
Yes, that's right. We are the manure from which so many lovely female co-hosts have blossomed, and then the winds carry them elsewhere. So.
I mean, we can talk about vulvas any morning that you want to talk about.
You know, yesterday I did mention, yesterday I mentioned the vagina police. So let's, you know, we're not afraid to go there. I'm married to an OBGYN. I have to watch myself at times. So
by the way, I just heard Todd laugh from the other room. So
you just heard Todd.
Yep.
Alba's 12 years old.
We can hear him laughing from Sub Prairie almost. But yeah, we've also got a terrific episode of the Charlie Burns Cripes Cast this weekend, lead out of your tackle boxes. So it's an excellent one. Tune into that Saturday and Sunday at noon. But As Goes Wisconsin, 11:30. Big news today.
And noon. Yeah, be there.
And noon.
All right, Kristen, good luck. Have fun with that. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Have a great day, guys.
You guys can follow me all day long on Facebook at Pat Kreitlow Up North. And, of course, we'll be back here again tomorrow. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll kick off the weekend, 6 a.m. tomorrow.